Chapter 5. Scarrato. DV minus 80 days. The leaders of the Legion remnants assembled by Korax were a mix of line officers and sergeants for the most part, the odd lieutenant amongst them. Warriors of higher rank tended to have been closer to their primarchs at the outset of the Civil War. Seated around a long table brought into the Grand Hall for the assembly, they looked at the Primarch with a mixture of hope, wariness, and awe. He did not stand up, preferring not to overwhelm the delegates with his physical presence. For the same reason, he had not donned his armor, but was dressed in a simple bodysuit of light gray beneath a long charcoal-colored coat. Like the throne upon which he sat, the clothes had been made for him as a token of favor of Naima by Scaratoan craftsmen and women. It had been a long time, over 2 years Terran standard, since he had worn much else other than his armor. He had wondered what it would be like, fearing that perhaps he would feel underdressed, but in fact, it allowed him to think more like a civil leader than a general.
"Rank is irrelevant," Korax began. "The hierarchies of old, the titles of centurion and warsmith, adjutorius and lieutenant armorer, are meaningless. For all of you, structure is a thing of memory, and tables of organization a topic of nostalgia. The Raven Guard know this as well as you, though you are sundered from your primarchs and the upper echelons of the legions whose liveries you bear."
Korax gestured towards his commanders sitting to his right.
"This is the entirety of my command staff, captains of the Falcons, Talons, Hawks, and Raptors. My legion numbers a few thousand warriors, a handful of companies by the old determining of strength. Many of you lead squads, and some less than that. For years now, you have fought simply to survive. Some of you have tried to reach Terra or sought to reunite with your legions, but for most of us, that is not an option."
He looked pointedly at Warsmith Anno Vuldai of the Iron Warriors, and then to Kasatai Nuon of the Night Lords, and the few others representing warriors whose primarchs had sided with Horus.
"And there are those of you that know you can never return to your legions, even when we are victorious. You have, I think, suffered the greatest betrayal of all, and I have nothing but admiration for your courage, loyalty, and determination, despite the direst circumstances into which you have been plunged."
Korax looked at his hands, laid on the polished wood of the table, pale against the dark grain. It helped to steady his thoughts. In many ways, the gathering was very different from those early councils on Lycaeus, which had been held in abandoned subducts and conducted in whispers. But though the environment had changed, the aim was the same, and he thought back to the first days of the Resistance. His first task had been morale, to convince others that it was not only possible for them to overthrow their captors, but to persuade them it was inevitable. He faced that same task with these broken forces. They had proven willing to fight, but he had to give them a vision of what they were fighting for, and he had to instill in them the belief that not only could they win, but that their victory was assured. To do so, he drew on every fiber of his Primarch being to speak with absolute authority.
"From today, a new phase of war begins. Our numbers are few compared to the might of those that oppose us, but we have weapons with a power Horus could only dream of wielding. We serve the Emperor, not ourselves, and that will give us a strength that outmatches anything the craven traitors possess. That strength will bring us allies by the thousands, the millions, the billions. Mankind does not desire a tyrant to rule over them, and despite the efforts of the word-bearers who proselytize his elevation as a new Emperor, the arch-traitor cannot hide his true nature. His followers are beasts and degenerates, pillaging and enslaving those weaker than themselves."
Korax looked at Bran, Agapito, and Arendai.
"What is weakness?"
"An illusion," said Bran, who smiled in recollection, using the Primarch's words spoken during the early days of the Lycaeus uprising. It is a label oppressors use as a whip to belittle their victims. Only those that believe the lies, who refuse to see their own strengths, are truly weak.
And what is strength?
True strength comes from knowing one's own value is dependent upon the value of others, said Arendi. It had been only a short time since he and the other survivors of the Primarch's guard had arrived, but already he showed signs of returning health. His face was filling out, eyes brighter, skin smoother. It is recognizing the bond between us all and acting together for the cause of all. Nodding, Korax turned his attention back to the others around the table. Many seemed unconvinced, but that was to be expected.
You doubt that we can achieve much in our broken state, the Primarch said, speaking softly.
He picked out one of the iron hands, whose arms and upper body had been replaced by augmetics and bionics.
Khazdar, you are the product of many hands, yes? Countless are the laborers at the forges who smelted the metal for my prosthetics, and countless more toiled with solder and pin to create the complex weave of nerve and circuit that interfaces with my mind.
The legionary extended a clawed hand and formed a fist with artificial fingers, tiny cogs spinning in the joints of his hand.
But it is all guided by my will. 1,000 disparate pieces, each of purpose and value, brought together under the control of a single mind, said Korax. We shall be the same, a machine, an organism, of many parts working separately, but invisibly, silently bound by common purpose and thought. I do not ask you to swear loyalty to me, for there is no greater oath you have sworn than by your deeds in the name of the Emperor. I do not ask you to become Raven Guard, for the blood of other fathers and the customs of other worlds have shaped you. You are each what you are, individual, but together, indivisible, we will be even greater.
Damastor Kael, another Iron Hand, stood up and looked to Korax for permission to speak. He received it with a nod.
I admire your courage, Lord Korax, as much as anyone here.
Kael's face was for the most part made of metal and ceramic, glinting in the light of the hall. Only one eye and ear were left of the flesh that he had been born with.
I answered your astropathic call to stand amongst brothers again, and I am proud of those that sit around this table with me, and those in the dorms and ships elsewhere. Pride, though, and determination are not enough to win battles. You admit that the Raven Guard are but a few thousand. Perhaps another few hundred of us you have dredged together from surrounding systems and sectors. Even if we had warships, weapons, ammunition, battle tanks, and the full stores of our armories, there are not enough warriors to face the smallest of the traitor flotillas heading for Terra. Our only hope must be to join the defense before Hordus' forces have the Sol system besieged.
Sitting down, Kael received nods and approving looks from many of the others. Bran looked to stand to voice a rebuttal, but Korax stayed him with a raised hand. He gestured to Captain Norris.
Your war brothers await you at the Imperial Palace, Captain. Is it your desire to return to Lord Dorne and await the attack of Horus's forces?
The captain seemed hesitant to reply. He rubbed his fingers through his close-cropped hair and stood, hands clasped together. He looked first at Korax, then Kael, and then back to the Primarch. Yes, he said with an apologetic nod. With all my heart, I would desire to stand with the Emperor's finest upon the walls of the greatest fortress in the galaxy.
Thank you, Captain.
Korax turned to his left, where Arcatus had been sitting in silence, listening intently to everything that had been said.
As representative of the custodians, whose duties should place you at the Emperor's side, what do you say? Do we return to Terra?
By the will of the Emperor and Malkador, I left Terra at your side, Lord Korax. I was doubtful of what could be accomplished by so few warriors, but I have been proven wrong. Out here, our fight still serves to defend Terra.
Where there is oppression, there is always resentment, no matter how cowed a populace might be, said Korax. The Legiones Astartes have never been kindly, not to many that were forced to compliance by the edge of a sword. But we were never tyrants, not even the worst of us, not before Horus turned his back on the oaths we had all sworn. I did not bring you to Skarato on a whim. Here is a lesson, not just in guerrilla fighting, but in winning wars against a far superior foe, using hearts and minds as weapons. Any world where the traitors maintain their authority with threat of blade and gun is ripe for targeting. A few warriors, even a single legionary, can ignite a rebellion that can waylay or draw in hundreds of traitors.
Perhaps for the Raven Guard, said Damaster Kyle, an artificial lung wheezing as he drew in a breath. Not all of us grew up in a prison, nor spent years fighting far from the command of our Primarchs. You take that culture for granted, Lord Korax.
I do not, the Primarch replied. You will soon each have first-hand experience of the fighting I describe, and you will have close acquaintance with those that have been terrorized into submission. I demand no promise or oath beyond that you accompany us on our next attack and learn from the Raven Guard how to wage the war we must now fight. After that, you are free to go your own ways, to attempt to return to Terra or other homeworlds as you choose, or to remain under my command.
This next attack, where will it be? Asked Kasatai Nuon, fingers flexing as though they were constricting around the throat of some poor victim.
A world imprisoned by Horus's followers, in the Karandiru system. We will liberate it.
I know this system, Captain Norris said sharply. All eyes turned to him. The 214th expedition, led by Lord Dorne himself, raised the capital and then built the Winter City on the ruins. If it has been turned into a prison, the walls of the Imperial Fists do not easily fall, Lord Korax.
Indeed, and it is to such walls the Emperor is trusting the future of the Imperium, said Korax. But countless are the fortifications that have been overcome, thought impregnable by those behind them. Tell me, Captain Norris, you spent much time fortifying Deliverance and Kiavar, and your legion is expert at both assault and defense of siege works. What would be your strategy for overcoming the defenses of the Winter City?
Given our present company, that is an easy answer. The Imperial Fist looked at the others around the table and smiled. It is the best way to take any fortress.
From the inside,